Welcome to the Kawartha Small Business Podcast, where we believe the Kawarthas can be the most thriving region in Canada for small businesses. I'm Brian Rump from Profit Coach.
And I'm Matt Garrity of Matagy Digital.
And we are recording from the Thrive Podcast Studio at Thrive Coworking Community at 18 Kent Street West in downtown Lindsay. And joining us today live in studio is Matt Thompson, who we call Matty T. And Matty T is joining Matty G and I for a conversation. Matt, tell us a bit about yourself.
Yeah, well, super thrilled to be here, and I'm sure this will come up later. But huge fan of the show, really recently too, in the past month or so. So my name is Matt Thompson. I'm the founder and CEO of Thompson Coaching and Consulting. It's a sales coaching business where I specifically teach entrepreneurs, small business owners, and nonprofits how to sell. Because they're really, really good at what they do, but when it comes to asking for money for it, that's where we find some struggles, and that's where I come in and bring over 10 years of experience in different sales roles to that, and I've developed a proprietary model in order to help people have that conversation and ask for money a lot easier.
Awesome. And how many hours, again, have you listened to this podcast?
Like a mere 10 to 15 hours in the last month since the podcast anniversary party specifically. I'm back a year and a half. We're talking about ice cream. Well, Matty G and Brian are talking about ice cream.
That's the new gold standard. Honestly, we need to, every time somebody asks to be on the podcast, which happens a lot now, we need to ask them, how many hours have you listened to the podcast? And one of the categories should be Matty T amount.
Yeah.
And see if they know. And if they don't know, then they clearly aren't listening and they don't need to be on the podcast.
For the Matty T amount, there needs to be the time limit.
Yeah.
I think like 10 to 15 hours, not bad. That's 10 to 15 episodes, but it's in a month.
Yeah. I feel kind of really weird about someone binging of these conversations, especially like they are meant to be evergreen episodes where you can listen kind of anytime. But
yep.
I just, you know, it's now hitting me how much my thinking has evolved and just how like I have no desire to listen to what I was talking about a year and a half ago.
But you listen to podcasts though.
Yeah, I listen to podcasts.
Just never ours.
Yeah. Every now and then I'll listen to.
When's the last time you listened to one of ours?
Probably in the summertime.
I've not listened to ours since the month or two that we launched.
I listen to the beginning sometimes.
So you both want to be able to be guests on your own show.
No. You now listen to more of the podcast than Brian and I have combined. Yeah,
you might be in a top listener.
To 1%.
It's gonna be on Spotify Wrapped.
Yeah.
Well, shout out to Monday Morning Coffees as well, because I come from Peterborough, so it's 40 minutes here, 40 minutes back. Yeah. So what am I supposed to do? Listen to the podcast.
That's right. Nice. So why'd you start coming to the Monday Morning Coffees?
I wanted to create better connections outside of Peterborough. I found I had a really good connection base and almost brand-like, because people have probably seen me around in a plaid suit and a long beard, and that's how they recognize me so much. But I wanted to kind of extend that out to Kawartha Lakes, and Matt and I met from Trent University when I worked there, and we hosted an event here, and it was kind of brought up in that moment, and we looked so much alike, so I wanted to explore that. But it's been good. I think I've been coming pretty consistently for almost a year now.
Has it been a year?
I think it was like kind of the turn of 2023. I think so.
That's wild.
Because my contract with Trent ended in March, and I was coming before that ended.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Question. Sorry to like take this off track right away, and let's ask questions about Thrive to make it better. But
yeah.
Do you like the format of Monday Morning Coffee, or would you like to see any sort of structure to it?
Yeah, I like the format like it is right now. I think if it wasn't coupled with other events, I think there could be a little bit more rigidity to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think because it's more of a networking relationship building piece, and then like this morning when we're recording this, it was October 30th, Monday Morning Hot Seat. Like then you have the opportunity to kind of get into the business piece.
Yeah.
And there's always an opportunity to talk about your business at the Monday morning coffees or chipping your children so that you can find them. Right, Matt? Huge fan of that?
So, Brian, I don't know if I've ever told Brian this, but I am a, I don't know, supporter, but I think it is a good idea that everybody should be chipped. Not kidding. I think that when you're born, you should get a chip.
Good thing we already are.
Well, yeah, I've been vaccinated, so I got my chip back then.
Yeah, your microchip.
I think it's a fantastic idea that you get chipped. It will cut down on human trafficking. You get a phone number involved in it. You get a website domain. You get all these things. And I think there is the perception that, okay, now that you've chipped your child, you're going to sit there and watch them all the time. I think that's an unhealthy thing, of course, but I think it's an important thing if they go missing. I don't. Do you think it's ridiculous?
Maybe I took this down the wrong way.
No, yeah, it's fine. Do you think it's ridiculous?
No, I think there's some interesting things to talk about, like some of the applications of like blockchain technology is about, you know, identity, privacy, consent on who gets access to that.
Sure.
So the general thought experiment of having something like that, that then could have, you know, we don't want the government, quote unquote, just tracking everyone and judging them all the time.
Sure.
But if you had a mechanism of who was allowed to do that, mm-hmm. then I think it's interesting because we have huge industries built on fraud and identity theft and all of that. So mm-hmm. yeah, it's not an out there idea. Yep.
Everyone thought it was ridiculous. I mean, Matty T somewhat backed me up, I thought, but everyone was looking at me like I had two heads. Yeah. But I stood my ground. I said my piece. I explained why I thought it was valuable. And people were like, okay, I could see that. But I
think coming full circle, the structure of Monday Morning Coffees, I think it works really well. It's inviting. And even this morning, I was a couple minutes late and Matt, you were out there waiting for people to show up, and it's consistent. And even on sometimes when you think, oh, maybe they'll take a long weekend because it was a holiday on the Friday, nope, Monday morning coffee's still a thing, unless the holiday's on the Monday.
Yeah. Yeah, we've always wanted to keep it casual, not aggressive. Don't like the idea of people coming in here and like pitching themselves. And mm-hmm. of course you get that and you can do that in an appropriate way, but mm-hmm. we're never the people that are like, you walk into the room and throwing business cards everywhere type of thing. Slowly, organically building relationships with people. And I think it's been good for everybody that's come, especially consistently.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I like it because it fits the idea of conversations,
which is
getting to know people, and especially it's targeted to business owners who mm-hmm. you get business stuff thrown at you all the time, and you want to give people a kind of that window in the week of just being able to go hang out with other business owners. And sometimes it's just without being pitched something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Too.
Well, and especially in all of our industries, when people buy from us because they know us and they like us, right? It's not a one-off retailer purchase, and this gives you that opportunity to build that relationship with people, even if it takes a year or 2 years, and you maybe end up working with somebody, maybe you don't, maybe you use somebody else's services, like that's what it's about, right? So, and it's consistently the same people showing up for the most part. We get some new people, which is really fun, and then you have that opportunity to do your value statement or elevator pitch on your business without handing out invoices. So
true, yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's cool. What? Tell me about just the idea of going into business for yourself. So just tell me about, what's that like? What led you to that?
Yeah.
Because, sorry to jump in really quickly, I think it's interesting, and not to steal where you were thinking, but you basically went from school to your own business, right?
Kind of. I always feel like I've been out of school longer than I have. And I think that's partially COVID. Mm. Like, I graduated in 2018 from Trent.
Okay.
So I had like 2 years of working before COVID happened and then kind of hopping around. But in the last couple of years, I've swapped around to different jobs, doing contracts and kind of being like headhunted to different positions. So I guess a little bit of a resume. I was a cell phone salesperson. I was part-time to full-time then store manager. And then from there, I wanted to try something completely new. And then I went to a car dealership. It lasted 4 months. Absolutely hated every minute of it. And we won't name names. but just brutal. And then from there, my manager actually at the car dealership said, if you want a consistent paycheck and you don't want to, and if you don't want to go into debt in the winter months, go get a job at a bank. So I went and I got a job at a bank as a financial advisor. And then TD reached out to me and headhunted me from the old bank. And then I moved to TD. And then a job came up at Trent. And I was like, this is a great position. So went and did that. And I just never found that one thing that I really, really wanted to do. Trent was fantastic. It was a great opportunity to meet with employers and understand their needs and how Trent can solve those needs. And I wanted to take kind of that approach and build my own business around it. And when I was in university, I always said that I wanted to have a consultant business, but maybe in my 40s or 50s when I have more experience. And I said, well, what's stopping me from doing that now?
Yeah.
Like 10 years of sales experience specifically in varying industries from varying amounts from $10 business card packages that I would do with Trent when I was a student there to $3 million investment solutions for businesses, like a wide ranging, not many people can do that. So I wanted to bring all of that to a business and I wasn't exactly sure how I was going to do it. So I registered everything in 2022 and then January 2023, I was like, well, what better way to start off a year than actually committing to it and going at it full force? All through Trent, I was the president of the Entrepreneurship Society, competed in multiple different competitions, turned $5 into $1,700 in 5 days off sales. I just had a love for entrepreneurship. My mom had her own business for 25 years in Belleville.
Ooh, nice.
We were just chatting about Belleville.
I was going to ask you, since you're into car sales, if you were looking for a car or truck and you wanted to save some loot, where would you go?
Save some cash?
Some loot. I'm referencing a very specific car dealership that you would know from the radio. Bob Clute.
Oh, okay. That's been a long time.
Deadpanning.
I thought we were getting into a car buying advice because there's some there too. Don't trust dealerships.
Except for Bob Clute, who might be our new sponsor.
Bob Clute. Reach out to Bob Clute. He's still around.
Yeah, so my mom running her own business for 25 years, and there was a conversation about me taking over her business as a computer store and repair place. It wasn't the right time. Didn't want to move back to Belleville.
Oh, which one's that?
The store?
Yeah.
It's called The Computer Store.
Okay.
And Westgate Plaza.
Oh.
Still there under new ownership.
Near Olympic 76?
Yep. Nice. So great little spot, but so always interested in entrepreneurship and really wanted to drive that and be my own boss and not have to answer to too many people.
And why sales? Why did you get into sales specifically?
I love sales. People are so afraid of sales, but what I always say is that a sales conversation is just a conversation with a goal. Mm. So it doesn't have to be a scary thing. I think the scary part of sales comes from not feeling like you're taking from people.
Yeah.
Not that you're actually giving value or giving something that person needs. So that's why I wanted to just specify into sales. I think there's a lot of great business coaches out there. Brian's one of them, right? There you go. Shout out.
Shout out to the guy who's running the podcast.
I didn't want to call myself a business coach. I don't feel qualified to call myself a business coach. I feel like you have to go through a lot of processes and procedures and learn from your failures and that kind of stuff. But sales is something that I'm super passionate about and I can help people with, have those conversations. Came up with the proprietary model, the debut model. When Matt and I were talking this morning, we were talking about how you didn't realize that was all me. I didn't want to regurgitate somebody else's content. I wanted to create something of my album of my own that was proprietary. So that's kind of how that came out, and I called it the debut model because I thoroughly believe that sales are a performance. Mm. Like I always say, me on Sunday morning at 7 a.m. is very different than me now,
mm-hmm.
right? It's more upbeat. It's not an inauthentic version of myself.
I like that. It's not an inauthentic. It's just a different version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
How did you come up with the debut model?
It was really just from understanding how my conversations would go with potential clients or prospects. Mm. So debut, it's an acronym. It stands for Discover, Empathize, Build, Understand, and Thank. Super straightforward. And what I like about it is that whenever you're going through the process, whether it's 15 minutes or it's 6 months in a sales cycle, you'll always know where you left off. So you're not confusing your customer. If you go through and you ask them an hour's worth of questions, and then you meet with them the next day, and then you go through an hour of the same questions because you forgot where you were, that's not going to create a good experience for anybody. So understanding that, and then even if it's a 15-minute conversation, you get sidetracked really, really easily. So then you know, okay, I've empathized with their problem. I understand what they're asking me to do. Now I need to come back to B and building that solution. So keeping them on track is a big part of that.
Sweet. And how did you come up with it?
It was really just off of thinking about something. I obviously needed something that sounded good as an acronym. Mm-hmm. So that kind of fit that bill. And it was really just the sales process. Just what do I say to people to get from I have a question about your service to a yes, and that's debut. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it wasn't a huge like visionary sky opening or anything like that.
Well, I think that's you say unfortunately, but you know, I teach at Fleming in the School of Business, and I find in the world of entrepreneurship teaching, there's a part of it that I really dislike, which is kind of this. We think everything is these like sky opening, grand ideas, novel. We love buzzwords. We love, you know, I have students who are so terrified to even do anything because they think they have to go from nothing to like the greatest, newest idea ever.
Yeah.
But the reality is when we're running business, it's figuring out what those programs and systems that work for us is, and then repeating them over and over. So having a model like debut, you know, we could put on our, you know, smoking jackets and get some pipes out and talk about which model's the best.
Yeah.
But the real answer is whichever one you pick and consistently use is probably going to work.
Yeah.
So if you create something that people understand, especially for, you know, a specific market, it's not about this brand new thing. It's about how do I simplify it? You know, just do something that people will remember.
Yeah.
And that's going to work probably more often than randomly going into it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you're right on the entrepreneurship thing. People think they need to reinvent the wheel. You just need to make the wheel better. Like it doesn't have to be brand new. It just has to be an improvement. Innovation doesn't mean something, creating something more. Invention means just changing something, right? From the student example, like when I was a student at Trent, me and one of my friends, we decided that for the $5 challenge, you get $5, you have to make as much money as possible in 5 days. We're going to sell business cards. We just looked at what Vistaprint charged, doubled it, and then sold it to businesses. And it was a design fee. And we ended up doing $525 of profit in those 5 days.
Wow.
Just going door to door.
It's like simple, right? You look for something people need, and then you
find
some customers. And it's a great example of kind of what we're all trying to do every day. We're just looking for different gaps.
Yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of people who kind of have that entrepreneurial gene or want to change that kind of go through their life and jot down things that annoy them and then think about how they could make that better.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think you both could relate to that.
Oh, yeah. That's why I started.
It's why we're here.
Yeah. That's why I started my business, for hundreds of reasons why other places I work annoyed me, basically.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. Or even I was telling my students this morning, like, I wanted to be the, you know, the $5,000 consultant versus the $50,000 consultant. Because yeah. I watched, you know, I was in government grants and mostly working with businesses. And you get a lot of businesses, you know, manufacturers, they grow to a certain part. They're not sure what to do. So they would hire, you know, one of the big consulting firms. And what you realize is with a lot of these firms, they have salespeople out. All the work's being done like by interns. Mm-hmm. Most of it is kind of cookie cutter garbage. And I remember it was a local big name business and they sent me a copy of this $50,000 plan. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I could do a better job and deliver more value in an afternoon without even having to do research because I already knew so much about them. Mm-hmm, yeah. So it's like, I just get annoyed by that because, you know, and even one of my students was referencing another professor who was like, well, if people are paying money, you know, you got to kick in some stuff to add value. So we, you know, we charge 50,000, we probably spend 10, and then we probably only need to do 5,000 of work, but we're just going to add in all a bunch of stuff to make it look cool.
Yeah.
It doesn't actually matter. So when you get angry about something like that, that's the heart of innovating.
And yeah, like the sales coaching too, I was tired of going into businesses, especially small businesses, and feeling like I didn't matter to their business or they didn't care, or even bigger businesses with retail, or anytime I called somebody, just poor phone etiquette. I was like, why is this happening?
Yeah.
And it's because there's no actual training programs for small businesses or entrepreneurs in sales. A lot of people are just bringing their experience from other jobs into this new world, but they don't have that client relationship management down. They don't have any of that down. So I kind of want to bring that corporate approach to sales that works so effectively, but tailor it to small businesses.
Yeah, I think that it's really needed because you're right. People, and it's true with so many, even people get into their own business and then they try to run it like a corporation they used to work at.
Yeah.
And they just bring this patchwork of stuff without ever training anyone. And then they all complain about their salespeople. Mm-hmm. And it's just this vicious cycle where all you really need is some simple training and setting of standards.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I've done sales training a bunch before, like multiple times. I think the biggest problem always is actually executing something and following up with it and continuing to do it.
Did you find with those, this was another, you know, thing I think about. Sometimes at big companies, they'll do all this big training, but they have like, you know, one of my students was talking like this integrated sales management class where they just kind of overcomplicate everything. Mm. And it becomes less about actually helping the customer and selling and more about satisfying the bosses and the sales managers and like kind of the system of it all. Curious what you think.
There was a lot of different types of things that I had done, weekly ones, one time like full day type of programs. The full day program was like a big production. It was like mahogany cabinets all around and smoking jackets type of thing where I kind of realized we're paying for a lot of the scenery versus any of the actual information. And that was one of, I won't say the person's name, but it was like a Carnegie sales thing, or it was the Sandler one I sent you this morning.
Yeah.
It was like a big production type of thing. And it was good, but I also found in a lot of those, it was, and I think this is just like a different knowledge base or a bit more experience. It was too much like, you need to follow up with this person and you need to be nice to these people. And I'm like, I get that though. Like, I understand that. And like, I'm sure there are people that don't understand that and they need that framework. But for me, it was always like, I know this. I need something more tangible. I need a bit of a process. I remember HubSpot did one weekly with me for a while. It was really good, actually. But I still do stuff to this day that they taught me of like following up. And it's like, okay, you need to follow up with people. But like, what does that mean? So they had a rule where you follow up with someone 4 times. And this is what you do. You call them. They're not going to answer it. This is the voicemail that you leave. you have a bit of a script so you're not rambling off into space. And then you follow up that call with an email. And then like 2 days later, you do the same thing. Do it four times. On the fourth time, you tell them, hey, this is gonna be the last time I reach out to you. After this, I'll leave you alone. Just like, if you want to tell me ahead of time if it was something wrong, tell me. I liked that. I liked that type of structure of beyond, hey, you should follow up with people. I liked, this is a process. And I do like processes, and I like to like veer off, and I like to do my own thing with processes, but I do like frameworks, I've realized. So
yeah, it really depends too on what your business is, right? Like, we live in a time where it's so easy to follow up with people now, whether it's through automation or there's so many different channels. A good rule of thumb, if you're cold calling somebody, is it can take 12 times for them to pick that phone up and recognize that it's you calling.
Holy.
Which is super scary to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a little bit of value, but I think it's how you do it. If you're physically calling somebody 12 times, I could see how you might feel a little bit pushy. But if you're sending them a message through Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, or however you want to follow up that way, if you're giving them a phone call, sending them an email, however you want to do it, you can get to that 12 pretty quickly or close to that 12 and it not feel super pushy, right? And then even following up, we had a chat at the podcast anniversary party with somebody that comes to the Monday morning coffees. And they're wondering how to follow up with somebody. And I said, have you tried sending an email saying, does it make sense to send you a contract?
Mm.
Just, does it make sense to do X, Y, Z, right? And that's your follow up. Not just wanted to check in, mm-hmm. just following up. Hey, how are you? And then leaving a blank. Like, people don't know how to ask. And that's just an easy little tip and trick. Doesn't make sense to go to the next step.
Like an actionable or transactional.
Yeah. As long as you know them and that you feel they'd be comfortable. Even my invite on the podcast today, Matt sent me an email and just said, we'd like to have you on the podcast. Here's the times.
That's really great. At pleasantries.
But it works, but it right? Works. But there's a relationship there. So like if he just said, hey, Matt, wondering if you want to be on the podcast. There's no sense of urgency. I'll get to it maybe in a day or two, send an email back. Then he'd be like, great. I'll send you a Calendly link to book a time. Maybe he sends it in that one. Maybe it's the next one. That's what some people do. And it doesn't seem logical to some, but they don't want to feel pushy.
Yeah. I think it's the trick is finding what works for you and then matching it to what works with the people who are going to work with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where all of the stuff, it sounds easy, but there's some nuance in it. But then it's like not overthinking it. And people, they hear sales and they think, uh-oh, I have to now be completely different and do something that I'm not comfortable with.
Yeah.
Whereas you might have someone on the other end who's like, I thought I was working with that person. Like, am I ever going to get a contract? Meanwhile, they're waiting for you to say, can I send you? Like, you just don't know. So find out what works and send it out. And if it works, it works. Matt's great for telling people you were short, and they thought I was like ripping on you for being short. And I was like, no, he just like, you'll do these things like, hey, do this. And it's like, if they don't want to, they'll tell you. If not, they do what you want and it works.
That's something that I learned in sales training, and now I've just adapted it so much that's just how I act, which I think is funny. And I think it was the HubSpot one again. They're teaching you about cold calling and how it shouldn't be cold calling. You should spend a couple minutes on LinkedIn. Like, what's their LinkedIn profile look like? Is it like in a suit and tie? Are they like out at the beach? You talk to those people differently if and when they pick up a call. If someone's out at the beach in that LinkedIn profile, you're sending a longer email. How was your weekend? What did you do? Were you hiking? Or if they're in a stuffy suit and tie, it's to the point. They're drivers.
Yep.
And I realized I am working with drivers more often than not, people that don't really have time to, not pleasantries, and you build that, but like they start off like wanting a business relationship. They're like, they don't have time to mess around. They don't want fluff. They don't want like the old sales nonsense, like smoke and mirrors. So I've now just adopted the I talk to drivers, and I like it because I don't read emails.
How many of your people you talk to are stuffy people who wear suits?
None now, but at the time, though, like I adapted that. Like when I was working at agencies, there was more people that were, they didn't care about all the numbers. They cared about like two numbers. How many leads am I getting? And did that turn into sales for me? That's all a business owner really cares about. Yeah. So like you can show them 300 pages of 500 numbers. They only care about those one or two things. So I just realized, why am I beating around the bush all the time? Like, get to the point. I don't like big, long emails. I won't read them. I will take from them what I need and reply, or I will fire things off. Like, I don't like dragging on conversation. So for you, I didn't want to be like, hey, do you want to be on our podcast? And email. Yeah. Now I got to come back and I got to get a link and like send it to you to sign up for the pod. And I'm like, no, I'm just getting straight to the point. If you don't want to do it, I sent that same email to like 6 to 10 people.
Yeah.
Half of them or more signed up. Yeah. The other ones that didn't reply, I don't care. Yeah. I don't even remember who they were.
Yeah.
Like you just, I'm an actual person.
So if you're listening and that sent you an email and you want to be on the podcast.
And if you didn't reply to me, I don't care. I don't know. Actually, I think almost everybody signed up. Actually, I'm thinking of a couple that didn't sign up, and that's probably reasons for that, like our timing and everything. But like my conversion rate on those sales were excellent.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's like I always say. I know for me, I never call myself a salesperson. But I was like, I get every deal I really want. Like by the time you go down the road of figuring out if it's, what the problem is, if I actually can solve it, sometimes it's just a matter of time or, you need something to change. But like, you just got to find a way to make it clear and ask for it.
100%. And I know like sales is obviously a part of your business, Brian, in terms of like what you coach on. And when I went to your sales training, I found it interesting that there is overlap between like both of our approaches.
Oh yeah.
But like from me niching down so much into sales specifically, and like this goes for you too, Matt. It's like people hear sales and they're like, oh, marketing as well. Like I'm not a marketer.
Yeah.
I don't do any of the marketing. Like you like Brian, build your business, get it to where it needs to be. Matt will help you get leads, and then I can help you close those leads kind of thing, right? It's like, because you can have 10,000 social leads, but if you're bombing every single conversation, then they don't really mean that much, right? So like, how do you actually close that? And I think choosing a niche is important in that sense as well.
I think it really, if you're focusing on sales, this turns into some live coaching, but like the more specific you can get, the better. And even if like, with a simple model like that, it's the sales staff or like the team one where it becomes like a regular thing people do. I find sometimes sales training becomes this like big scary thing that we can only do once every 5 years when really it should be a thing. Every new person gets this, and it can be executed because you have people like, the drivers Matt works with. It's like, hey, we're doing this. We're getting you all these leads. And then they're like, oh, this doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And you're like, but there's, you're getting all these calls, but then you plunk someone who's maybe it's their first job, entry level role, and they don't know how, and you're just making them guess at what to do.
Yeah.
Then you're kind of wasting some of your marketing money. So you need to bring in the person that can help, with that.
Yeah. And what I would love to see is companies and small business adopt a bi-weekly sales meeting where they send all of their reps in, they come with like an opportunity and a win. And then we go through those kind of things and how they can get those opportunities to agree to either a meeting or actually agree to part with their money. And have it be more regular. Like you worked in banking, Brian, you probably had your bi-weekly coaching that was
bi-weekly
awful, or monthly, or if you're not doing well, maybe more than that, right? Like, but those people, those coaches, and I'm doing air quotes, rarely knew what they were talking about.
Oh, the one time, so we had like obviously in banking, the managers would be like, told the coach, be like, hey, and they would just, you know, the people, I worked with some really great people who are all retired now.
Yeah.
And they were good. They didn't love the salesiness, but I remember once they brought in this like third party group of people who like were coaching us on like mutual fund sales. And it was so weirdly scripted, and I resisted it because it didn't actually make sense to the people that I was seeing.
Yeah.
And I actually, if I get real down into it, I was like, I think it disregarded kind of the rules and standards that you're supposed to have when you're selling mutual funds. So I was like, well, I'm not going to ask this because of this, like you can't be giving me contradictory info, but it wasn't helpful. And it was all made like, I always, you know, we talk about this in marketing and why I prefer to work with small businesses is we're working with the business owners who care about profit. Mm-hmm. In the bigger corporations, there's this dance people do where it's more about saying you were a sales coach to a big team, more so than actually teaching people how to sell.
Yeah, I found in banking, the first bank I worked at, same kind of thing. I had a lending coach and an investment coach, and they both were so scripted and wanted to just focus on, you say XYZ and they'll say yes. Mm-hmm. But when you ask them specific questions, because there's a lot of regulation that goes with both of those things, they're like, well, I'm in Quebec. I don't know the rules in Ontario. Like, then why are you a coach? Like, what? Like, you can't actually teach me what to do. And then it got to the point where my manager actually suspended my coaching and we just did coaching together because it wasn't working for me. And I think a lot of people end up in that kind of role where they get left behind, or because I've listened to 10 to 15 hours of podcasts, they're looking for these unicorns, right? Unicorn employees that just can sit down and know what to do automatically. And like, that doesn't really happen anymore. And I think a lot of those banks do expect turnover and they want people to be there for a couple of months and then move on. And it's just not effective. So that's what I want small businesses to adopt is regular coaching, really supporting their employees, building up their workforce. And if you don't have a sales team, how can you turn your existing staff into a sales team? If you're a nonprofit, how do you take your directors and your board of directors or a small team and turn them into salespeople? So every networking event they are at, they are talking about your product or service, right? And promoting it, as opposed to right now, they're just decision makers behind closed doors.
Yeah. At the end of the day, we're all in sales all the time. And even I had a guest speaker to one of my classes who's in the supply chain industry. And he's like, you are always learning to sell, even if it's selling someone on, you know, taking an extra shift or working overtime that day. So I think, you know, we talk about if you choose to be in business, you choose to be in marketing and you choose to be in sales.
Yeah.
Like if you're going to own your own business, you have to do marketing. Like no one else is just going to do it for you for free. And then you have to learn how to say it, do sales.
Yeah.
Or you don't eat. And if you're going to hire staff, it's like, you know, I'm thinking of, you know, even taglines or for you or things you say, but like you're trusting your business to these people and like, you're not even going to train them on like a simple way to do it. Like you're just wasting all of your, marketing money.
Yeah.
If people can't just simply close.
Yeah, exactly. Just asking for money. And that's the scary part. My now wife likes to remind me that I used an assumptive close on her to be engaged.
Oh, yes.
And,
you're never going to hear the end of that.
Yeah. And I feel like it's important to put on a podcast because she always likes that story. But you get to a point in it. Sales where like you just feel like it's a good relationship, you just feel like they need your product and you just say, so do you want to pay by cash, credit, or check? Right, like simple ways to just like ask, and it doesn't feel as salesy as what people are afraid of.
And I think people get afraid, but when you go back to, do you have a product that actually solves a problem? And if you're confident in that, you just have an obligation to like communicate that and ask people for money. If they say no, you know, you don't need to find a trick to make them say yes. Maybe that just means your product doesn't actually solve their problem. But if it does, then you have to do better to communicate that.
I think it's on my website right now, where it's like, you're doing the world a disservice if you're not offering your product or service.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Yeah, I would say, it might be on my website too, but like, as a business owner, you have a responsibility to tell people that you have a solution to their problems.
Yeah.
Like, that's your whole job as a business owner. So I think the scary thing about sales for most people is, not to continue talking about what you just said, but the idea that you're trying to convince somebody to buy something. And I learned that when I started sales training years ago. I don't do it as much anymore, but I hated the idea of being in sales because I didn't want to just convince people to do something. But it's not about that anymore. I think that's the biggest change from
the... Well, the places it is are just the crappy businesses and they wear you out and you just need to find a better business to work for.
Yeah, it's not like the heyday of the 90s where sales was king or whatever.
Vacuum store to door.
Yeah, and like now it's about finding like, can I help this business? Yes or no? If not, like everyone needs to just move on. you know what I mean? So...
Yeah, there's so many interesting things that go into it. I was having this conversation with my father-in-law on Saturday, and how people can use pattern interrupts to kind of disrupt their prospect or client's way of thinking. And the way this came about was every time I have somebody wearing a blue shirt come to my door and knock, I immediately put up this huge wall, and I'm like, no, because it's always Bell, Kojiko, like Sick Kids wears blue, like anybody I find asking for money is wearing a blue uniform. And the way I realized this was one of our neighbors was going around talking about his floral shop. And I felt awful because he was wearing blue. I opened the door, I said no, and closed the door.
Yeah.
I didn't even give him a chance. But like then you realize that you're been like it's like Pavlov's conditioning. Where you see blue and you just get angry. So it's interesting, how can you change that up so then you're not immediately putting up objections without even talking to somebody?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We get so conditioned, and even people selling, they just are conditioned that people say no or are going to leave us off on some stuff we're going to talk about another time. But I'm doing this trauma of money certification right now that's absolutely blowing my mind. And bringing a lot together. But one of the things is, you know, reminding people that they're not responsible for someone else's money baggage.
Yep.
So sometimes people are afraid to sell because they wouldn't buy it.
Yeah.
Or they think everyone has no money and will say no. So that's a big thing we could dive into. The other thing that kind of relates to this, especially with small businesses, a lot of them are like, they kind of don't like capitalism. So they get into business to do things different. The problem is, what happens is, and there's a whole other category of like some money trauma stuff that fits into this, which we'll talk about another whole episode.
Yeah.
But if you don't find a way to overcome it, all that happens is capitalism wins. Mm-hmm. So if you have something amazing that you can sell and you just don't tell anyone about it and don't learn to sell it, all that happens is people will just keep going to like big extractive corporations and get there. So for small businesses, it's like extra important that you do marketing and teach people how to sell, because you're going to be more successful at kind of taking down the system you want to take down.
Yeah, exactly. And I think as small business owners and entrepreneurs, it's hard to understand people that would buy your service because you wouldn't buy your own service because you're the expert.
Yeah.
Right. And I think a lot of people have to get over that hump as well. Like, I wouldn't go out and pay somebody to teach me a 5-step sales process because I have a 5-step sales process. So it's hard to price that and ask for money for that. But then when you get over that hump, you're going to have a lot more success.
That's an interesting point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. We have to like get a different perspective sometimes, which I think, you know, to put a nice bow on all of this is why it's important to hire coaches, hire some outside perspective, because we get our blinders on inside of our own businesses sometimes, and just having that person from the outside is going to make a huge difference.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. Any final words? Tell us what you want the people to know and how to find you.
I want people to understand that sales don't have to be scary. Sales can be easy and it can be fun and it's necessary. And at the end of the day, sales is the best source of financing for your small business. You're not held or tied down by any loans or governmental bodies or anything like that that you have to do reporting to. You can find me at thompsoncoaching.ca or email me at matt@thompsoncoaching.ca.
That was the best wrap up any guest has ever done on this podcast.
Probably because he listened to 15 hours.
Yeah. That was the best. Normally we get no or so that was awesome.
I'm down. Curtain call.
On that note, if you are listening to this and you want to be on the podcast, it's really easy. First, you listen to 15 hours of the podcast. Second, you reach out, say you want to be on it or indicate interest to us somehow. And third, we will bombard you with a terse email and a link to sign yourself up. You can come to Monday Morning Coffee, or you can send us an email to set it up at coworthismallbusinesspodcast.ca.